Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. What a praise, Jesus, that actually it's not only is this a momentous occasion for the reasons I've told you, but it's also really close to 1,990 years since the first Pentecost, because it's Pentecost Sunday. For those that follow the Jewish roots of, you know, in a good way, I've been preaching against radical Jewish roots, if you've been following on YouTube. But it's okay for us to just recognize that God has laid his plans out using the feasts. You know, Jesus died on Passover. Then there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. No sin. There was no sin involved with Jesus' sacrifice for us. And he laid that out. And then first fruits on Sunday. You know, it's always on Sunday that the Jews celebrated first fruits for all the days since Moses. And not knowing that that was going to be because Jesus would be the first fruits from the dead and raised on Sunday. And then 7 weeks later was Pentecost, which is what we're reading about today. And that's when chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we're going to move from there to verse 36. But what I want to emphasize is that, you know, today is Pentecost on the Jewish calendar. In fact, you know, the calendar is lined up, because the Jewish calendar is different than the Gregorian calendar. And this year, everything lined up, Passover, Pentecost, all that stuff is lining up this year. Passover was on a Wednesday. It was on Wednesday when Jesus died. It was Good Wednesday instead of Good Friday. Some people say Thursday. Maybe they're right. There's a verse that has a problem with that. But here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and the church started that long ago. And here we are, in a way, for us, it's kind of special. For me, anyway, it's kind of special that we start again. And that on Pentecost Sunday 2020. And some people are going to judge us as being crazy, not caring about people and stuff. And I want to assure everybody here that if there was any concern, really concern, other than flus of the past and everything else, we wouldn't be meeting. But the facts are that our area is very, very, we've talked to nurses, doctors, go to the Kitsap County website. There has not been a positive test in South Kitsap for the last 3 weeks. And there's only been 6 positive tests in all of Kitsap County. And we all know, as I've said in other venues, you know, on the virtual, we're not watching people drop dead at QFC and Safeway and all these other places that have just as much social distancing stuff. But here's how we know that it's not a problem. And what we know is not a problem, we all watched on the news the last 2 days, right? You know, we know the governor doesn't really care about social distancing. And why do we know that? Because he would have had his guys out in Seattle the last couple of days saying, you know, we appreciate you all wearing face masks. We appreciate that. But when you burn down businesses and police cars and vandalize and destroy property bought by the taxpayers of Seattle, could you please stay at least 6 feet away when you do that? Okay? So because that didn't happen, we know that this is a farce. We know that this is a power grab. And it's a power grab that I think is much more insidious than we really realize. And so I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to meet. But I'm so thankful we're meeting today. And then let's go to 36. So I'm skipping the part where then Peter tells them a sermon. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church and birthed this church age, which our mission as a church, for everybody here that's a true believer, you're a mission. We have a mission as being part of the church to help other people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and to give a boldness, a martyrdom boldness. That's what actually it says to be a witness. The word behind there is martyr. That we just got to serve our King Jesus using wisdom in these days. This is a crazy time, you know, being wise about how we meet and everything. It says, therefore, verse 36, let all those, and so Peter preached, you know, laid it on them. You guys have crucified Jesus. Look at all the prophets had talked about the Messiah who was going to come and suffer and everything. And then he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, the church for 2,000 years have been telling people, you know, you've been fighting God. You're rejecting his son, Jesus. That needs to stop. You need to get right with God. And it used to be in times in history, a whole bunch of people said, what do we have to do to be saved? I was saved during that time in history, during the Jesus movement. Everybody was saying that. Now hardly anybody says that. It doesn't change what we preach, but that was what happened. You know, they were cut to the heart. And he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our message is for people to stop fighting God. You need to believe and trust in Jesus. There is no other way. There is one way to be saved, and that's by the name of Jesus Christ, and that's the mission of the church. And that goes on, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. That's you. You who are far off in distance, we're far off from Jerusalem, and far off in time. And for 2,000 years, that's been the case. For the promise is to you and your children who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Are we living in a perverse generation? And you know, when you see storm clouds coming, you know, Juanita with the other day, remember when the lightning came through? I slept through the lightning. She went out on the back deck. I love lightning. We don't get it that often, but she said you could just see it come rolling in and then just see the lightning. And we're seeing clouds, they're rolling in. And it's not just America, it's the world. And the Bible says it's going to be the whole world in the last days. It's going to have storm clouds coming and the perverse generation. Aren't you so glad that Jesus is going to save us out of this perverse generation? They are, according to the word, they're going to continue to get perverse. They're going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. But the whole time we have to remember, but not in my kingdom. My King Jesus is on the throne. My King Jesus is going to reign. He's made a place for me. And he said, you know, behold, I go away to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you can be also. That is our hope. That's where we're going. It's not here. This isn't the holy place. This, you know, Jeremy and everybody else has been saying. So, and then it says, then those who gladly received his words were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then here's the key. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship and breaking bread together in prayers. And then fear came upon the souls. And so, again, the world doesn't understand. Well, you know, you guys, you have your computers, you have your virtual services. And so what's your problem? You know, Supreme Court ruled yesterday or Friday that, you know, hey, you're not being treated bad. You know, you guys are doing okay. They ruled against the church down in California. And for those that didn't hear about that. And, so they don't understand us, do they? They don't understand that we're a peculiar people. We want to see each other. We want to pray for one another. We want to, and I want to say today, if you've been struggling in your lockdown and just things are gripping you, problems going on with your family, you need healing and stuff, we can just pray for you. It's hard to do virtually over the phone, over the phone lines. And it's kind of cool. We've never had a place to pray at the altar. Some people think this is kind of Catholic, but it's okay to, you know, Protestants are prayer too. So this is a Protestant prayer altar here. It's been declared that, no matter what was intended. So if you want to come and be prayed for, we don't have to worry about, oh no, we have to be out by our contract. We have to be out by 12:30, you know, we can be here all day long. I'm here to be here all day long for anybody that wants to be prayed for and encouraged and whatever else we're doing. So, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. And, and for those of you that know your scriptures, we're going to be talking about the dedication of the temple. And even though the church dispensation is so different than what was going on when God commanded Moses and Solomon and others what they're supposed to do, you know, that true Christianity doesn't need a building, it doesn't need a temple, it doesn't need anything, because we're the true or the true temple. There are some things that I think we can receive from this section of scripture, 1 Kings 6:11, that will give it a church perspective. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon saying, concerning this temple, which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the temple and finished it. So, you know, even Solomon says, you know, you created the heavens and the earth. You don't dwell in houses. But, you know, really God did, though. The Shekinah glory of God came inside the Jewish temple that Solomon built. But he didn't ask anybody to build him a house. It was because man wanted to build a temple. And God used that request by man to put his glory there and to demonstrate through the sacrificial system what people needed to do to be delivered of sin. And that's all changed now because, you know, we go to Jesus for it. But we see that from the time of Moses until the time of Solomon is hundreds and hundreds of years. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews were renting. They didn't have a permanent place. They had a tent. And even before Solomon, the Jews so quickly departed from the laws of God under Moses, and even after that, during the time of the judges, that the tabernacle that was built by Moses, the temporary rental place, so to speak, it got destroyed. It got taken away by the Philistines. Why? Because the Jews started sinning and rebelling against God. So here's the encouragement with that. We're going to see that through the rest of this. Sin leads to destruction. Great plans. You know, think of the literally hundreds of millions of dollars to them, maybe some people put it closer to $1 billion, of God's money was used to build a temple. Where is it today? Gone, rubble, nothing. Because of sin, rebellion against God. God's money has been used to, by the grace of God, debt-free, have this building, and even the construction projects, when they're done, will be debt-free. We'll explain all that later on. And all that will be wasted if we as a people don't completely dedicate our lives and our hearts to be holy to God, to have this place be a holy place, that there would be no, like Jeremy's saying, it can be self-destructed. Immorality could come into this place. I've seen many places blown apart by immorality of the leadership or anybody else. We have to be careful to pray for our children that are going to be here. The devil would love to have the children be in situations that could cause problems, that we had to just deal with our insurance company. Oh, you need this many millions of dollars because of all the stuff that's happening in the churches across America, and this is what you need to be covered for. And I'm sitting there, I go, it's, you know, Jeremy and I were talking, it's so disgusting, we have to even really think about this and to have to deal with this and just say, God, let it never happen here. Let it never happen here. Especially in this place, it will blow apart. You know, Jeremy said that John and Debbie used to go here. All the effort that went into building this place, and they came, but it only lasted for a little while because then there was a big blow up, and the pastor got kicked out, and shortly after, the whole thing went away. The whole church fell apart. And then that's how Pastor Bruce then found out, oh, you know, we'll rent it. We'll rent it, and he's been here for 20 years. It's self-destructed because of sin, rebellion against God. Can we all commit, let's double down that this place is a holy place. Double down, especially you parents, your children, they're going to be able to run around here and do stuff. It might not be possible to keep perfect eyes on them, but be diligent because the devil is there. Looking who he can devour, be aware of what's going on. It's harder to keep track of things in this facility than it was at Seventh Day. Because God said, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, my commandments, then I'm going to bless this place. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen. Now, Hebrews 3, I have it in your notes. We're going to skip it. But it's really, I want to emphasize the true temple now is you and me. The Holy Spirit inside of the church, inside of the servants of the church. It's not, again, this is a building. But God does look on this building and goes, oh, you want to turn this into a place of craziness? He'll remove his blessing. See, we can have a blessing here. We can walk in and feel, wow, the Holy Spirit is here blessing. And then we can ruin that if we let it be ruined. And let's not let it be ruined. And it's really true in your own self, because the Holy Spirit, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit if in your own life. Let's say you're struggling in your life today, living in holiness. You're compromising in what you know to be sin. Repent. Turn away, because the same blessing can come off your own life, your own family. And let's make this a holy place. Make it a holy life. Jesus is coming soon. And so 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. And this is Solomon's prayer, where he is saying some of the stuff I said. When Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord and in the presence of the congregation, now it's done, and he's dedicating to all Israel, and spread out his hands to heaven and said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. Amen? There is no other God. We serve the true God. People think they serve their God. Well, it's their God is a demon God, because there's only one true God. And there is no God besides you who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. And you have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way that they walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, who was that ultimately fulfilled in? Jesus. You know, literally there was one dynasty from Solomon. God said, there will not cease to be somebody to rule on the throne of Israel. And Solomon down, one dynasty, descendants of Solomon and David, all the way to Jesus. Since Jesus, yeah, forget it. It's done. So really, to the Jews today, either God did break his promises to David and Solomon, or Jesus was fulfilled it, and he's still sitting on the throne, right? It's not like he's gone. He's sitting at the throne of God on the right hand of the Father, and he's going to come back. He is our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. And now I pray, O King of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I built? Just emphasizing. Even Solomon knew he builds a temple. You know, he created the heavens and the earth. You created everything. Who are we really to make anything here on earth or to have a building? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you this day. And isn't that true for us? Because we do. We want to serve Jesus, and we want to pray to God to deliver, to use this place to his glory. Going to verse 6 of chapter 9. This is now God speaking, but if you and your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples, and this house will be exalted, yet everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Now, let's apply that to the church today. Did the church used to have, well, in the early days of the church, did it have a pure message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. In the early days, did Satan try and infiltrate the church with false gospels to get people off of that? Absolutely. Has he been doing it throughout history? Yes. Was the church in America pretty solid for a couple hundred years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has the church today, and I mean church, I mean like, big, you know, not church, not right here. But the church generally in America, is it preaching the unadulterated, pure gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul preached? Very rarely. We have gone after other gods. There's churches all across America open up their doors to have Chrislam. You know, we do Christianity in the morning, and hey, my Muslim brother, come on in and do and worship Allah in this facility in the afternoon, or vice versa. And they think that that's honoring to God. We are doing the same thing that the Jews did. back in the days where they opened it. They filled the Holy of Holies inside of the temple that Solomon built. They filled the Holy of Holies with Baals and Ashtoreths and other gods, and they worshiped them inside of the building that was supposed to be used for God. Is that happening in the church today? Yes. In the so-called church, quotation marks, church, it's happening today. So what's God going to do? He's going to let the church go into the tribulation period. He's going to let it completely collapse. So here's the other thing. I'm committed. Jeremy's committed. The leadership here is committed. Praise Jesus. We're going to preach the unadulterated, pure gospel of Jesus as long as I have breath in my life and my lungs. As long as my heart ticks. If I stop doing it, as I said before, the aliens have abducted the real Kevin. They sent down a clone that looks like him to deceive you, and he just put me out on misery. It's okay to shoot aliens. There's visitors here. I should be a little bit on better behavior, but that's who you get. Anyway, so because it is rare, and we want to be the remnant church. The remnant church gets to go home. I want to go home. The remnant church is going to get raptured. The fake church is going to be left behind. The true church in the days that saw the Solomon's temple about to be destroyed by the Babylonians, that remnant Jews, they got rescued because they went ahead and they defected to the Babylonians, which is what Jeremiah told them to do. Jesus doesn't tell us who to defect to. Because I think he has a different plan. He's gonna defect us into heaven by going to be with him. Because there is no place to defect. You can't go anywhere in the world and have the whole church is being judged across the world. The whole church is being judged with this coronavirus. It's all being shut down by the forces of Satan, and God is allowing this to happen. And you think about it, there's no turning away from what's coming down the pike. And so let's go to Kings 19. But God is so merciful and long-suffering. In fact, my friend Mark Dinsmore here, I'm copying from him, so because he's here, he's going to say, Kevin, I told you that. Yeah, okay. The good news is that God is long-suffering. Amen? Amen. Yeah, long-suffering. You know what the bad news is? God is long-suffering. Does that make sense? You know, because we're glad he was long-suffering for us to get saved, but now, Jesus, why don't you just judge this place and get us out of here? And Kevin, just hold on. It's going to be a while. We want to wait until nobody's listening anymore. We want you, and you might have to go into persecution as a church. As a remnant church, you might be persecuted and everything else because I'm going to just harvest a few more before I say, boom, the church is done. And so the bad news is he's long-suffering, but that's okay. And if you read the history, from the time of Solomon dedicating, it wasn't but a few years. He marries a whole bunch of pagan women who turn his heart against God, and he starts worshiping idols there in Jerusalem. And so God had to bring judgment and civil war to the nation of Israel that led to the death of hundreds of thousands of people and the destruction and the history that goes on because sin entered the camp and destroyed the plan. Sin has crept into the church and is blossoming and growing across the world. And we see the same pattern. And we saw it in the days of Elijah. The whole nation of Israel is worshiping idols. And Elijah is the prophet of God, and he challenges the people. He does the worship of, the worshipers of Baal, the priests of Baal, and he does the whole thing. He slaughters the priests. And if you don't know the story, you have to read earlier chapters. But in chapter 19, verse 1, and it says, and Ahab, King Ahab, wicked King Ahab, told Jezebel, his wicked wife, it used to be nobody was named Jezebel, but now people are starting to name their children after wicked people in the Bible. Yeah, heard about that? You know, how many of you have ever known a Jezebel? Nobody wanted to name their children Jezebel. Somebody had, a Jezebel? Oh. Okay. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, killing the prophets of Baal, and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me. And what she means is conjuring witchcraft, satanic demons. That's what she's talking about, because she was a witch. We know later on in scripture, Jehu called her a witch. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, you know, you're going to be dead by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, and belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Going down to verse 8. So here he trusted God for the power, because he is just like overwhelmed with how the nation of Israel has completely gone after idols. And he challenged the people. He goes, hey, look, you guys are supposed to worship God, but you've been worshiping Baal. Let's have a little test who the real God is. And they find out the real God is God, because he brought down fire on the sacrifice. And instead of repenting, the Jezebels of the world, they're serving Satan. There's a lot of people in this world serving Satan. Satanism and witchcraft and Wicca is one of the fastest growing belief systems in this country. And it's going to have an effect. We're going to see it. And there's a hatred of the demons that control those demonic mindsets. Those people are going to hate us and hate you, hate this place. We need to pray daily for God to protect this place. Because, the Lord's protect. In fact, I've been for years, he's kept our office safe for 17 years over there. Every time I lock the place up, I go home to a totally empty place all night long, every night. Thank you, Jesus, you keep this place safe. We need to have that attitude, that God will keep this place safe. Going to verse 8. So he's running from Jezebel now. He knows what a witch she is, and he thinks he's alone. So he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food 40 days. So angels provided for him, and he eats food that lasts for 40 days. Now, is that a miracle? Especially when you're going from Beersheba, southern Israel, and you're going all the way to Sinai by foot, and you're living on food that you got, angel food, given to you, for 40 days. And that kind of reminds you about Jesus and all this other stuff. So that whole time he's realizing God is working a miracle, 40 days, morning and nights, until he gets to Horeb, to Mount Sinai. And then he went into the cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, this is so important, what are you doing here, Elijah? Because God had made him a prophet to the nation of Israel. You're not a prophet in the nation of Israel anymore for hiding a cave in Mount Sinai. What are you doing here? And then he answers and he goes, I've been very zealous, verse 10, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And then he said, God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And what he's saying is, he's in the still small voice. Now people want, signs and wonders. The sign and wonder, God's word breathed to us through the apostles and the prophets, and it speaks to us what we're supposed to do. And when we read the word of God, it gets embedded into our hearts, and the Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance. Says, Kevin, don't be thinking that way. Kevin, don't be talking that way. Kevin, this is the way I want you to be. Don't rely on your flesh. I actually spent some time this morning meditating, Lord, what if the cops come? And you know what? I have my fleshly way of dealing with that. But God gave me what I think, if it were to have happened, he gave me a biblical way, a loving way. I'm not going to tell you what the plan was going to be. Unless people want to stay. Kevin, we want to hear. So, okay, you be the cop and you come and we'll... So we're constantly needing that still small voice of the Word of God to speak to us, to get us to not be us and to be Him, right? To not be us and to live like Him. To not be us and live in sin and fall in sin and get away with things, and to let His Holy Spirit guide us and lead us instead. So then, so he says it's in the still small voice. And then he says, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here? And Elijah says, man, I guess I've got to repeat myself. because that's what he does. He says, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, and I end your notes with this, go do your job. Isn't that what he said? And he went out and did his job. So I look around with my peers across the country and just seeing everything that's happening in our world. And you kind of almost feel like Elijah. It's just like, what's the use, man? It's just everything's falling apart. It's crazy and whatever else. And we can want to go honker in a hole. And you know, seriously, if I cared about my life, I'd be going and finding some place to go. Where do the rich go? New Zealand. What do they buy? Underground shelters. What are they going to do? Sit there until the whole Holocaust is over. You know, we could be saving our life and going into that mindset as the post-tribbers do, because they have that mindset. They got to live through the tribulation. Or we could just do our job. I told one, over and over again, my calling is not to go, get a cabin in the mountains or whatever else. It's to do my job that God has called me for until the day he comes and takes me home. And we could be hiding today. Oh, the government doesn't want us to do this and that. Again, we want to do what it takes to keep people safe. But we serve King Jesus, and we don't serve lawless governors. And what does that mean? We're going to submit to him. We still submit to him, because if they're going to come and shut us down, say, okay, you guys haven't let me do jail ministry in 3 months. Because you won't tell me which ones you're releasing so that they can come back and be saved from coronavirus. And so take me away. 24 hours of being able to share with people and, whatever. That was actually part of my plan. But so we're still submitting. We're not locking and loading, going crazy. The world's going crazy. And they wanted to get Elijah. Jezebel threatened him. And he's running because of the threats. But God says, you got stuff to do, so go do it. And if you read the rest of it, he does it. And the nation goes, ultimately, years after Elijah is when the temple does finally get destroyed. Samaria gets destroyed first, then Judah because of sin. Sin always keeps going and decaying a society until judgment comes. This time I think, so we're headed to judgment. And usually what happens, there's the revival, and the revivalists come and things get better again, and that lasts for a certain period of time, and then sin creeps in again. This time I think it's global judgment, and the evidence is all over the place. It's global judgment. And God is not going to let it, because we don't have a place to flee to. Jesus is going to take us. The global judgment's coming. We might have to see some beginning days of that. But until then, let's do our job. What do you say? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, God. I do just so pray that you would allow this little hill here at Wildwood in Sydney to be an oasis, to be a beacon, to be a lighthouse. Lord, even to the, we know our neighbors are, many of them here locally are, have been deceived into a life of drugs and other destructive things that Satan deceives people into. Lord, we pray that somehow you would miraculously give us the wisdom and the love to minister to our immediate neighbors and to all throughout Port Orchard and Kitsap, that you would use this little fellowship, Lord, to your glory. Allow your glory to be manifested in every meeting that we have in this place, that you would keep the workers in the ensuing weeks that are going to be remodeling and making it more comfortable, that you would give them protection, Lord, from harm. Protect our children, Lord Jesus, growing up in a country, in a world, in a time that is through media and technologies and just the increasing perversion in our midst that are seeking to destroy. God, protect our children. Protect your people, Lord, and give us boldness like Elijah until the job is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
We usually have one closing song, but today is a special day. We've got three. So let's sing out to the Lord Jesus.
Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your seeks to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Still will I stand in your presence. Onto my knees will I fall. Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes. And I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak in all I can only imagine? I can only imagine.
Might have to not imagine that much longer. Thank you for coming today, being bold and courageous. And thank you for joining with the saints, every one of you joining with the saints to worship our Jesus. It's been a while since we've been able to do it like this. And I know it honors God. And I know He's going to protect us. And I pray that you'll be strengthen the inner man and woman until we can fellowship again. Because of the fluid situation of what's going on, you know, do keep in touch with email. Let us do that to let you know. Current plans are we're going to be here next Sunday to worship Jesus. And the following Wednesday we'll be doing here too, most likely. There is going to be a trailer, right, Jeremy, outside. There's going to be a bathroom trailer. So don't, I'm not coming back here if they're going to tear up those bathrooms. But there's going to be a trailer outside with bathrooms, so that will be available next week. And also, truly, we don't have to leave. You know, we can stay however long we want. Huh? Oh, do not set up the chairs. Do not take them to the wall. They'll be in the same place next week. Glory to Jesus. Thank you. And thanks for all the years of dedication to those that did do all the work of set up and tear down. And they actually were confessing to me. They go, are we going to get fired? No, you still have a job. But feel free to pray, you know, and just pray for the place as you go through. And God bless you. And if there's anybody that wants prayer for any reason, let's come and pray at the altar together and lay hands on you and pray that God would miraculously touch you for whatever healing you may need. And with that, God bless you. Thanks for coming. May the Lord use you until He comes. Amen. God bless.